Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Arden here, and welcome to my live post-show following WrestleMania 32 that just took place live from the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry's World, and where the attendance record for the WWE was broken with over 101,000 fans that was there. And to be honest with you, it was definitely a lot more because I saw some photos prior to WrestleMania of fans who had, like, standing room tickets or whatever, and they couldn't get to their seats. So whether it was inside the building or outside of the building, it definitely looked like there was, I don't know, thousands of more fans that were supposed to be at that WrestleMania. But here I am, live post-show following WrestleMania 32. You know, it was definitely a long one. I mean, if you take in part the, what you call it, the pre-show matches, we're basically looking at a WrestleMania that was over 5.5 hours. But if we're just talking about the main card, we're still talking over 4.5 hours of matches and segments and all of that stuff. And of course, I'm here to talk about it. I'm here to express to you how I feel. And then also look and see what is next. What is the logical steps to take following this WrestleMania? Because some programs had a build up to it, some didn't. You know, for some, this could be the climax of a program, and for some, it might be the beginning or a bump in the road. And when I look at this WrestleMania, and, you know, I look at the card and I look at the circumstances surrounding it. In my honest opinion, when I judge this WrestleMania on a scale of 1 through 10, I honestly will give it a strong 8. I will. And I think this is the type of WrestleMania where I could see it being divided by two sides. You're going to have one side that is going to look at it and go, man, this WrestleMania was pretty good. And then you're going to have another side that goes, man, this one sucked. I'm on this side that was pretty good. And I think for me, it was easy to enjoy because outside of what happened tonight, I went into this WrestleMania with wide open expectations. Like, you know, like I didn't go into it with a certain set of expectations. Like I was very open-minded because I knew going in with what was happening, when you look at the injuries and then you look at, you know, Vince McMahon and the creative team struggles to put together great programs, I knew that this either could be really good or really bad. And so I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go into it open-minded. Plus, it's WrestleMania. Like, you just never know. And I think when you look at what happened tonight, it proved why going into WrestleMania, no matter what is going on with the company, going into it open-minded is the best approach. It just is. It's the best approach. And I think another thing people was talking about, too, was the fact that it felt like, man, so many people are getting, you know, put on this card. So many people, it's like a jam-packed card. It's just too many people. But I felt like the way they played it made a lot of sense. Like, you know, like even, for example, I'm trying to pick a match that I felt like made a lot of sense in terms of the usage of people. The Rock segment. Like, when you think about the Rock segment, you was thinking about the Rock, in terms of his involvement for WrestleMania, it could have been a lot of things. You know, it could have been a long segment. It could have been a backstage segment. It could have been, you know, possibly the Roman Reigns Triple H match. It could have been another match. But the way they was able to use multiple people and how it was executed, to me, I think it was one of the finest moments of the night. Not just one of the finest segments to separate from the matches, but I think one of the finest moments of the night, because that was very creative. To turn that from Rock going out there, you know, and with the things he was wearing too, he was wearing wrestling boots and sweatpants, you're definitely looking at him like, okay, Rock, you better be in some action. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're looking at him like, man, the guy better be in some action. But to turn that from a random Rock appearance slash announcing the attendance record to bringing out Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family to Bray and Rock having an exchange in the mic, which is pretty good, by the way. It's very legit. Rock just being as great as he is, I mean, the greatest talker in the business, with Bray being somebody that's a very good talker. And then suddenly that turns into an impromptu match between The Rock and Eric Roman. Suddenly that turns into, okay, we're on the verge of a potential beatdown from the Wyatt family on The Rock into John Cena's return to WrestleMania to the WWE with him and Rock teaming up to kick the Wyatt family's butt. That is very creative, you know, and it irked me a little bit. Like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, it annoyed me a lot, but it irked me a little bit when, for such a creative segment, some fans are still looking at it like, oh, you know, Cena turn heel. Like, that bothered me more than Cena sucks tweets or Cena's bad tweets or why Cena had to return type of tweets. Like, you know, like, it's like, guys, we're past that point. You know, if it happens, it happens, but it's not going to happen. But I say that to say this. I felt like that Rock segment was a great example of how the WWE, you know, was able to jam-pack a lot of people onto this card, and it worked out very good because, again, it worked out very well. Everybody had their chance to be involved and play a part, and, you know, I thought it wasn't too shabby. But I'm going to give you my opinion now on the card, you know, when I look at certain matches. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch any of the pre-show matches. Mainly because, not mainly, well, all because of the fact that I was on my way back home from the city. Like, today was my first day at my new coaching job in the city on weekends, a great basketball program that I'm going to be helping out with. So, basically, that 6 to 7 o'clock range, I was finishing up on the program, walking back to the train station and catching my train. I was somehow able to catch the beginning of WrestleMania and not really miss moments because somehow, some way, I was able to find a stream. God bless. I thought I was going to miss like the first hour or so of Mania. But when I look at the results and I see who won, you know, Kalisto defeating Ryback is a great choice. That's the way it should be. Kalisto is somebody that, again, man, if creative can just get themselves together, they can make something work with Kalisto as the United States champion. Ryback is established. Like, you know, like, as funny as that may sound to you guys, but Ryback is an established star. Like, you know what I'm saying? The guy has been in main event matches. He could be a solid mid-card guy, somebody who every once in a blue moon could be a high-card guy. He's established. Like, he's fine. Kalisto was always tag-team oriented, was always unknown. Give him an opportunity, you know, and I see they gave him close to 10 minutes with Ryback, which is cool. They just need to, man, build off this and really make this into something. Again, you're in a time in the WWE where guys are starting to come back. Cena is now back. Orton will be back. Cesaro. Plenty of others will be back, and plenty of others will be competing for the United States in the IC title. There's no excuse, regardless of how long Kalisto's reign is, unless it's ending in a month, that he can't get on the program with any of those guys and do his thing. You know, the guy could put on matches. When I look at Team Total Divas versus Team Bad, definitely doesn't surprise me that Team Total Divas won. I mean, this is basically Brie Bella's final match from what we all know. So, yeah, they have to win. And you definitely have to win with her doing, you know, the yes lock. So, salute to them for winning and getting the dub. The Usos beating the Dudley Boys, not surprising because just like what I was talking about with, you know, my guys Grant Matthews and RJ and Mike on their 2-hour WrestleMania special that I did with them, the Dudley Boys are back, just like Chris Jericho, to put people over, to provide depth, to provide more talent and experience, but more importantly, they're there to put people over. The Usos, for as established as they are as a tag team, for as involved as they are, they still need to win a lot more than the Dudley Boys. They're the Dudley Boys. Like, they're fine. The Dudley Boys can easily get back in the tag team title picture soon. Heck, to be honest with you, I would love for them to have a quick run with the belt just because I feel like it's only right. But, yeah, you know, not surprising. I did see the last big spot in that match, you know, the Usos jumping off from opposite corners onto the Dudleys through the tables, which is pretty dope. But now when we get to the main card, opening up with the seven-man ladder match, I was in favor of. Because I think, hold up, I'm about to check my notes right now. I think in my notes, I wrote when I made, like, my own WrestleMania card recently that that should have been the opening match. I'm about to see right now. I'm about to see. Hold up. Yeah, I think I had it like that. Yep, I had it like that. I had the seven-man ladder match first, followed by AJ Styles and New Day. I think the order was the seven-man ladder match. Oh, wait, yeah, it was. I was good. My bad. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I was pretty good. You know, I had the seven-man ladder match, Jericho, AJ, with League of Nations after that with New Day. So, yeah, that was pretty good. Good for me. That match was good. That was a good match. That was a good way to open up the show. 15 minutes and 23 seconds is long enough. You know, with a match like that, all you need is some good spots. All you need is some good spots, and all you need is a few guys to climb up that ladder, almost get the belt, tease the crowd, you know. But, of course, the biggest moment from this match is the fact that Zack Ryder won. You know, Zack Ryder won. And I think if you're the WWE, sorry for the yawning. Sorry for the yawning. I think if you're the WWE, the way that you made Zack Ryder win was great because of the fact that Kevin Owens doesn't look weak. He's not hurt. Sami Zayn is not hurt because Owens got taken out of nowhere and got attacked by Zayn with that crazy suplex onto the ladder. Zayn got pushed off the ladder, and then you have Zack Ryder taking advantage of the opportunity. That's pretty smart. And also, I think, too, you know, I know for quite a few of us, again, you know, me, Graham, Mike, and RJ talked about this on our two-hour WrestleMania special. We were thinking, you know, Owens and Zayn going into, let's say, Extreme Rules for the next couple months. But when you think about it, you can do a Ryder Owens for until Payback or until Extreme Rules. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think Owens and Zayn is being saved for the summer, and rightfully so. That will make for a great summer program. I think it will make for a lot of fun, especially when you have the IC title. Back in the picture, and what you could do during like those big summer events, like a Money in the Bank, a Battleground, and then SummerSlam. So I can see why, you know, Zayn or Owens didn't leave Dallas with the Intercontinental Championship. But that match was pretty good. Definitely some good spots. Guys took bumps. Kevin Owens did his thing for sure, man. He's just proving why he is a star in this business. And, hey, keep it up, fellas. Keep it up. Then we have AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. Now, this was probably, I think, in terms of matches, the quality of matches, I would say this was like, I would say the third best match of the night. Third best match of the night. But it was a very good night. It was a very good match, man. You're talking about two savvy vets like Jericho and AJ Styles going at it for over 17 minutes. Both guys, you know, the match between those two, between two veterans like that, it's not surprising. Like, you're thinking about a match where the pace could go either slow to fast real quick or fast to slow just as quick. You're talking about a couple of nice spots here and there, some good ring work, good fundamentals. But Jericho winning doesn't surprise me. It doesn't because just the way that program is built, it's built to where AJ winning more is like, yeah, I wouldn't know why. Like, even though Jericho, his role coming back to the company is to put guys over.
I'm so sorry for the yawns, man. I just had a very long day.
But like I was saying, even though Jericho is back in a position to where, yes, he does have to put guys over, AJ Styles is one of those guys that he doesn't need to be put over. AJ Styles is not some 25, 26-year-old NXT rookie. Like, you know, the man's close to 40, been around the world, very accomplished. So Jericho beating him one of the few times, especially at Mania, you know, it was a good decision. And AJ's not going to be hurt by that because he won the series. Like, he won the series versus Jericho, did his thing, put on some great matches, and I don't think that we can necessarily complain. But I do wonder, following this, what is really next for AJ Styles? like, what is the next guy for AJ Styles going to program with? Because for Chris Jericho, we can just look at Jericho and go, Jericho, your services are done here. Like, you're done. Like, thank you so much for what you did with AJ Styles. We holler at you down the line, you know, probably for SummerSlam or whatever. But you good, like, you're good money. Like, you know, like, you're good money. For real. You know, like, that's nothing. It's nothing more, nothing less. It's nothing more, nothing less. Then we have the League of Nations versus New Day. The New Day, their inches were sick. Crowd popped. But I wasn't surprised that they lost. I wasn't surprised that they lost to the League of Nations. Because I started to get that feeling a couple weeks ago when watching Raw. And it's like, the New Day is just constantly getting over League of Nations. They're outsmarting them. They're winning. So I'm like, this is just going to lead into a League of Nations win. And I think more confirmation showed how more possible that is because the tag titles weren't on the line. So when you see that, it's, oh, yeah, like, New Day's not winning. You put the titles on the line, then I'm going, okay, New Day's winning for sure. But no titles on the line, and yet New Day was controlling this program, and you want the League of Nations to be, you know, taken more seriously, they have to beat New Day. They just have to. So that didn't, that really didn't surprise me at all. I'm mad. Honestly, I really can't talk about the Brock Lesnar Dean Ambrose match. Here's how mad I am. I was really 2 to 3 minutes into this match before WWE Network decided to have some BS technical issues with their feed. I'm talking BS technical issues. I'm talking, forget just like, okay, your feed's freezing, but I could see the match or watch the match, but it's just freezing. It was like, no. First of all, the show canceled out on me. And then two, whenever I was pressing play and getting back to the show, regardless if it was on my Xbox One, my iPhone, my iPad, whenever I clicked, you know what I got? Freaking, what you call it? This media content is not found. So I wasn't able to watch the remainder of Lesnar Ambrose. But from what I've read, it just appeared to be a lot of German suplexes, a few F5s, Ambrose having his moments with weapons, and some people complained about how short it was. I mean, it was 12 minutes and 49 seconds. So I'm going to take a look back at that match whenever I have the chance, but I'm very upset I wasn't able to watch it, you know, because, again, freaking WWE Network slacked on me, bro. They slacked on me, man. For real, they really did. God damn. God damn, man. For real, you guys had to do that for me, though? But, you know, I'm still rocking with you guys. Shout out to the Divas for putting on an incredible match for the WWE Women's Championship. That's right. It's no longer the Divas title. The WWE Women's Championship. Lita presented a belt earlier pre-show. It looks great. And Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky have nothing to complain about. It was 15-plus minutes of excellent wrestling, excellent storytelling, great execution, and the ending surprised me because I'm going to be honest, I was not expecting Charlotte to retain the belt. You know, like, I really wasn't. I was expecting a new champion for sure. I'm like, oh, man. Like, honestly, this is how it was for me. I was expecting Sasha to win, but I picked Becky to win. So to see Charlotte maintain the belt was like, okay, wow. But, man, those ladies put on one heck of a match. And it just shows you that the Divas Revolution with a new belt is legitimate. It really is. And before I talk about the two biggest matches of the night, let me just touch on Baron Corbin winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Way to go for Baron. Holy crap, Shaq came out. Holy crap, Diamond Dallas Page came out. Very random, but very cool. And let me just touch on, once again, the Rock segment. You know, like I said before, that to me was one of the most creative segments that I've seen by the WWE in quite some time. Because they was able to take multiple things that can happen separately and put them into one segment. That was something I really haven't seen from them in like 10 years. Like, not even joking. Just the idea of, okay, you have The Rock going out there, making his appearance, doing what he does best, announcing the attendance record, and then the Wyatt family come out. You could have easily had the Wyatt family come out, Rock and Bray have their exchange, Rock gets beats up. But you have the mic exchange, which is the second part, turn into the third part, which is the Rock suddenly in his ring gear. The Rock was already in his ring gear getting ready to wrestle. So that's three. Then three turns into the Wyatt family setting up their attack on the Rock, going into five and six, which is John Cena returning, the crowd going crazy, him and Rock team up to beat up on the Wyatt family, and the Rock capping it off with a hit your smell what the Rock is cooking. Great, great segment. And what was another great segment following the League of Nations beating the New Day, Sheamus is talking and going, look, fella, I bet you can't find another three men that can match up with us. And then I hear, hi, Frank, kid, I think I'm cute. Shawn Michaels comes out. Place is going crazy. I'm going crazy. I'm like, oh, snap, he's about to bring out DX, and it's about to get real. Nope, Mick Foley comes out. The hardcore legend, Cactus Jack, do love. Bang, bang, have a nice day. He comes out. And then, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, and the place loses it. I was freaking out because I knew Austin was going to take part in Mania in this type of role because he was teasing it on his podcast. He was like, you know, doing my cardio on the ranch and running half a mile to a mile. And I'm like, dude, you wouldn't be doing that just to make an appearance or to cut a promo. Your behind's getting in that ring. And that's what happened. Freaking HBK, Mick Foley, the Texas Wrestler, they go in that ring and they beat up on the League of Nations, hitting all of their finishers. Then, of course, which was a great end to that segment, well, to the match, which was Xavier Woods is trying to get Austin to dance. Austin dances, and then Stone Cold stunners Xavier Woods. That was great stuff. I just had to talk about that. But when we look at the two biggest matches, and let me start with Taker and Shane. I thought it was, honestly, let me rephrase that. That match for me was what I really expected the whole time. I was just expecting a good to very good physical match with some nice spots. Pace wouldn't be too crazy, but it's going to be a match dictated by how physical it is and by the spots. And these guys went at it for 30 minutes, man. That surprised me. Taker and Shane going at it for 30 minutes? Whoa. And those guys brought it. I thought they told a really good story in the ring. I thought Shane's entrance was dope, bringing out his three sons to, you know, to do the money dance and stuff. I thought it was great. But the only thing that I feel left out on is outside of Shane winning, because I really wanted Shane to win, because I really wanted to see that aspect of, okay, Shane winning, what could we have possibly seen under Shane with Raw? And two, I need Shane to be around longer. Like, of course, being full-time is not possible, but I would love for Shane to have a role once again with the company, especially in the summertime with SummerSlam. Like, I would hate if it was just, yeah, Shane's just back for WrestleMania season and that's it. Like, I just think that sucks. Like, Shane added a dimension to this company that it desperately needed. It needed more star power. It needed another great person that could do great matches, and that's what Shane brought. So I'm just hoping Shane could be around more outside of just tonight or tomorrow night. I really hope that he could be around more, man, just here and there, because I feel like he could really contribute in 2 to 3 months, like in a 2 to 3 month program, which he did. And like I said, too, when I get back to that match, can't be surprised that Taker won. And that match really went as I thought. You know, it went as I thought in terms of, look, very physical. Big spots will determine it. Like freaking Shane jumping from the top of the cell. And nothing more, nothing less. Those guys put on one heck of a match. And that leads us into our main event of the evening. Roman Reigns versus Triple H for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. These guys went at it for 27 minutes and 14 seconds. Whoa. When I look back at this match, this match was meh. It wasn't special. Like, it wasn't crazy. And the crowd actually was bored during this match. Like, outside of the initial opening of this match, the crowd was basically not into it. Like, you know, like the crowd wasn't really into this match. And I think for the company, they really have to, man, moving forward, especially with Reigns having a belt now. He did beat Triple H at the end. They have to just do something to where if they can't get people to cheer for him and you don't want to turn them heel, you have to make them respectable to the point where people can accept them. Like, that's the thing about John Cena. People may dislike John Cena the same way people like John Cena, but people can accept John Cena. People don't accept Roman Reigns, okay? And that's just the honest truth of the matter. People don't accept Roman Reigns. So I think if you're creative, and especially Vince McMahon, your biggest goal is, look, man, instead of trying to force him down people's throats, instead of trying to make him the next great baby face and whatever, let's just put him to the point where people can accept him. Let him be him. Let's just do that. And I think from there, you'll see better results. You'll see better results in terms of people supporting him, or better results in terms of people rooting against him. But this type of Roman Reigns right now is not going to work if you're trying to turn this guy into a massive star, okay? But when I look at this match again, it was really dictated by whenever or not the crowd was into it, and towards the end, Stephanie interfering, talking to the ref, she gets speared, Triple H with the sledgehammer. But again, man, this match is just very meh. We all expected Roman Reigns to win. I mean, we was probably hoping for, like, you know, The Rock or a surprise in that match. We was probably expecting Reigns to turn heel, but it just wasn't going to happen. But moving forward, we just have to move on from, like, this past year of the Reigns stuff. You know, the Reigns moment, the Reigns fan base. We just have to move forward, man. And tomorrow's going to be very interesting to see how we could move past this program with Triple H, and we could really get into the spring and programs with other guys for that title before he eventually engages into a war with Seth Rollins. But when I look at this entire card, folks, just considering what I was thinking heading into this event, I really do give it a strong 8 out of 10. I really do. I felt like for the most part, the matches were good. The segments were on point. You know, there was some unpredictability along with the regular predictability. But when I think about a WrestleMania, a good WrestleMania, this to me was a good WrestleMania. You know, nothing more, nothing less. It did its thing. It was right, filled the time. And I think that if creative really do what they have to do, then you could easily build off this. You could easily build off this and create at least 5-6 months of more material. But we shall see starting on Monday Night Raw, because the post-Monday Night Raw is always lit. But other than that, this is Arden talking to you. Thank you for listening to my live post-show following WrestleMania 32. Of course, the next time I will be speaking to you will be on May 1st. Why May 1st? Because that is the night of the WWE's next pay-per-view, which is Payback. So I will be talking to you then. Post show, of course. Enjoy yourself. Have a good week. Stay focused. Stay blessed. Get this your money. And if you smell ow, what AST is cooking. Oh, man, this was a lot of fun. Talk to you guys next time.